going to continue reading here in Matthew, and I know I've skipped a few verses here, but we're going to begin reading in verse number 18. There's pretty much a couple of verses of scripture that I want us to get to tonight, so I'm going to read kind of quick and make just a few comments, and we'll see how the Lord wants us to go. Verse number 18 says, "And while he yet spake these things, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come now and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." Now, I said I was going to make a few comments. I'm going to do a lot of reading, make a few comments, but here we go. We're going to start early. So as Jesus has come down off the mount, and again, he's showing his disciples how to walk the walk. He talked the talk on the mount. Now he's down, and he's walking the walk, and he's been doing all these wonderful miracles, and then here comes somebody that says, "My daughter's dead." Now, why in the world, if your daughter was already dead, would you trouble the master? Why would you? I believe that this guy had so much faith. He was so amazed at the work that Christ had done that he said, "If all the things that he's done, I don't believe that even death can hold him back." And he just didn't even know how true that statement really is. But as we look here, and he says, "My daughter is dead, and I know that if you come and lay thy hand upon her, she shall live." You know, I have some friends. I mentioned some friends that are lost tonight, and the Bible tells us that while we are sinners, and before we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. And I'm thankful for the day that I met Jesus Christ, and he gave me life, and life more abundantly. But you know, my friends that still don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they may not even understand it yet, but they are dead in their trespasses and their sins. They don't have life. I have everlasting life right now. There's nothing nobody can do about it. It's been settled a long time ago when I was 7 years old. I received eternal life that day. My soul will never, ever die. My body will die, but my soul will never, ever die. And I've got that eternal life. But you know, my friends that are lost, they are dead in their trespasses and their sins. And sometimes I forget, I think that the circumstance that they're in, the sin that they're in, the whatever has got overtaken them, whatever has got them bound, I forget that God is big enough to break through every bit of that and able to, if he will just touch them, and I know he's willing because the Bible tells me that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to know him. So if they can just touch Jesus, that what they may be dead in their trespasses and sins, but just like that, they can have life and have life more abundantly. I mean, it is so fast, and even here as he goes to him and he says, and I know, you know, I've quit praying for some of my friends. Let's just be honest. There's some of them that I've lost hope for. There's some of them that I've lost, just to be completely straight with you, I've lost concern because I feel like that they're in a hopeless situation. But wouldn't we all in a hopeless situation? And Jesus Christ is our only hope, and I'm glad that he didn't give up hope on us, but yet he came and gave his life on a cross for us. Verse 19, "And Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood." Look, he can't even go do one miracle before another one starts. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about when he saw her and said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house," see, he was still on his way to the daughter that had died. "And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now listen, after everything that they've seen Jesus do, then he comes into this crowd, and he's been told that this young girl's dead, and he says, This maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And look what they do. And they laughed him to scorn. You know, they come in, and when Jesus said, She's not dead, but she's asleep, all of a sudden, what he said, they wanted to make fun of him. They wanted to laugh at him. And you know what? I'm afraid to say that that's the way that a lost and a dying world is until they see their need for Jesus Christ. It's amazing how people, if we'll be honest with ourselves tonight, we take our salvation for granted. We don't get up every day and really recognize how good God's been to us just by forgiveness of our sins and making us children of the King. We take that for granted. But a lost and a dying world who has never experienced salvation, they look over God. They have no place for God until an emergency comes and all of a sudden they need God. And that's the way it was here. Even though this girl was dead, It was real personal to this ruler that went and got him and said, Jesus, I know if you can touch her that she'll live. But all these other people, when Jesus come in, you would think they'd have been like, hey, God, Jesus is here. He's going to take care of this. But when he says, she's not dead, she's just sleeping, they laughed at him. They had no concern for him. But let's continue reading. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. They were amazed at what he was able to do. But yeah, I don't read anything here about some of them saying, oh, well, now I'm a believer. I mean, they went and told everybody about it. But we need to be in a place in a day, and we are in a time in a day when people don't look, hey, just think about this a few years ago when 9/11 happened. Man, you've seen a country look to God. I mean, it was amazing how our country, all of a sudden, we were looking to God. We were binding together. We was in a state of emergency. We needed something, and we needed something awesome. And you've seen people come together, and you've seen people look to God, and you heard about God this and God that on the TV, and now look where we are just a few years later. You know, until something else happens and we're in a state of emergency, we're taking it for granted again. And that's kind of the way that these people were here in Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. You notice that almost in every situation that Jesus either asked the people or the people confessed straight ahead that they had faith that he could do this. Sometimes I think the things that I'm praying for and asking God for, the reason they're not happening is because my faith is not strong enough. My faith is, you know, I say I know God can do, and I believe that God can do, but how strong really is my faith? Verse number 29, Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. He said, Don't tell anybody. Why would Jesus tell them, Don't tell anybody? Now look, he just done a great miracle for them. He just opened their eyes, and then he said, Don't tell anybody. I believe it was because the press was so overwhelming. Now look, Jesus was all about healing these people and ministering to them. But look, I believe that they were pressing on, that it was hindering him, or could have been the hindrance to him, of doing what God sent him here to do. And that was to give his life for you and I. That was to go to a cross. But he said, see that no man know it, because he didn't want people looking at him for the miracles. He wanted people looking at him because he was the Son of God and he had been sent here to be the perfect sacrifice. Verse number 31, But when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. So on Sunday mornings, what I'm going to start doing is saying, look, everything we say here is secret. Don't tell anything about Jesus, and y'all will go out here and tell everybody. Guess what the preacher told us? It's a secret. Don't tell nobody this. Okay, if you ever have anybody come over to you and say, hey, can you keep a secret? Guess what? They can't, because they're fixing to give you one. Can you keep a secret? And, you know, if that's the way we would look at, if I looked at you and said, man, don't y'all dare tell anybody how good God is. It's a secret. Shh. We would go here and tell everybody. That's kind of the way these guys did. But it says, but when they were departed, they spread about his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Verse number 34, but the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. They were trying to just dismiss that he was the Son of God. Verse number 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Look, Matthew is making it very clear that there was a whole lot of other miracles that is not mentioned name by name, one by one in here. It's amazing what all God did and what Jesus Christ did while he was walking here on this earth. Verse number 36, but when he saw the multitudes, listen to this, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, because they were in distress. He's seen all of these needs, and the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. Again, I believe that sometimes they may have even been pressing him so much that it was almost like, oh my goodness, how can I mean, he's the Son of God, but still, these people were, I need this, I need this, I need this, I've got this, I got this. You can imagine how that must have been. But it says that when he saw that, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, because they were distressed. And I'm glad that every time that distress comes in my life, that any time that I need Jesus Christ, hey, I know there seems like sometimes I've had people ask me, says, well, how in the world, if you pray and I pray at the same time, can God hear both of our prayers? Again, we can't understand all this, but he's an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. He knows everything at all times, knows what's going on before you. He knows what you need before you even ask. So he ain't even got to hear your prayer. He knows what you need before you ask it. But people says, how does he know? It doesn't matter how. The thing of it is it don't matter how many needs you have, how many needs I have, how many needs the 65 or 70 of us have that's in here tonight. He knows every need, and he has compassion on us for every need that we have. You know, I'm concerned about the prayer request that I gave y'all. I can't say it now because she might watch Facebook. So I'm concerned about that prayer request, and I want y'all to help me pray about it. But God's already got it. He's already got it in his hand. He's already got it taken care of. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, God's already got that. And he sees my distress, and he's got compassion on me in my distress. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, listen to this. This is one of the two verses that I wanted to get to. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Man, you could preach on that verse for weeks on end. You know what? We're living just as Jesus was here in this time, and he looked around, and he's seen all of the multitudes, seen all of these people and all of these needs. And he said, I'm having compassion because I see the distress. I see how they're almost like sheep without a shepherd. It's almost like they're lost. They're so distressed. And he says that he was moved with compassion because of that. And then he looks and he says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let me ask you tonight, are we truly laborers for Christ? Are we truly doing a work that Christ has called us to do? Now look, we all have been given the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you say, well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to carry the gospel into a lost and a dying world. Everybody that knows Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. We've been called to be a laborer for Christ and go out and tell other people the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel not being so much what happened on church on Sunday. I think it's great to tell people what happened in church and invite them to church, because I believe this is one of the places that people feel the Spirit of God more than anywhere else. Because they come in here and they're among other Christian people who are hopefully gathered in one mind and one accord, praying for God to visit with us, praying for the Holy Spirit to be strong. So I believe this is a wonderful place for people to come to know Jesus Christ. But the gospel being, hey, no matter what you've done, no matter what kind of sin is in your life, Jesus Christ loves you, gave his life for you, and will save you. That's the gospel that we need to be carrying. Now look, he tells his disciples here, he says, look around at all this multitude. He said, I've got compassion, and I see their distress. He said, and there's so many of them, he said, but the laborers are few. How many of us, you know, I've heard it said so many times in my life growing up that in a church, that however many people you have, that probably 10 to 15% of the people in the church are doing all of the work in the church. And most of the time that can be the case. And that's the kind of the way that it seems to go. Well, how do you think it is in the church of Christ, the body of Christ? Man, if we were all laboring like God has called us to labor, we would probably lead more people to Jesus Christ than what's being led to Jesus Christ. But see, I don't labor like that. See, I'll get up and I'll put 50 or 60 hours in at my workplace. I'll go and punch that clock and I'll work. I'll put in, listen, I'm going to plug me right here. I'll put in 10 hours in an 8-hour day. Man, I'm down with it. I work hard. Now, y'all believe that if you want to, but we'll just go on from there. But we'll go and we'll work hard, and we're trying to do what we're supposed to be doing. But, you know, what about, how long has it been since we punched in for Jesus? How long has it been since we said, you know what, I know God's got a work for me to do. The laborers are few, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to do what God's called me to do. How long has it been since we really could look back and say, you know what, I've put in a good day's work, And I know you're not saved by works, and I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that God has called us. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Do you think you, in a day's time, you come into contact with more saved people or more lost people? I come into contact with more lost people. I'm sure that I do. But how often or how few times do I mention the name of Jesus Christ to them? I hope my life shines forth. I mean, that's one thing that we're supposed to do is to let our light shine. But how many times are we truly laboring for God? Look at verse number 38. He looks at his disciples now. Jesus looks at his disciples. And I want you to notice that he's talking to his disciples. The guys that he was on the mount with, that he gave his sermon to, that he said, come on, let's come down off the mountain. I want you to watch what all I do. And he showed them how he was supposed to treat other people and how he was supposed to have compassion for them. In the verse number 38, he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I bet you all of his disciples said, amen. Amen, Jesus. We need to pray for people that'll go and labor. Jesus, you're so right. We need to pray that people will go out here and they'll witness, that we need to go, that they'll tell others about you. I bet his disciples was all in agreement, just as we will be. Even sitting here tonight and preaching about laborers and are we laborers of Christ, I see a lot of you doing this, that yes, we need to be doing more for Christ and laboring more for Christ. And yes, we need to pray that other people will go and labor for Christ. Chapter 10, verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles, wait a minute, we were talking about disciples. Now he says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Tom, that was a mouthful, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, I'm going to say one, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Look right here. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I wonder if the guys in verse number 38, when Jesus looked at them and said, as his disciples, we need to pray that somebody will go into the field, that somebody will go where the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. We need to pray. And I wonder if all those guys that were sitting there going, yes, Jesus, yes, we do. Yes, Lord. I wonder about in verse number 7 or verse number 6 where he says, but now you go. I wonder if they were still saying, yes, Lord, or, oh, no. I know how I do. Man, I'm all about it. Somebody needs to get out here in a lost and a dying world and tell people about Jesus Christ. And then when God speaks to my heart and says, you go, then I go, I don't know, Lord. People, because this person may not like what I've got to say, or this person may not be feeling it at this very point. You know what? God didn't call me to talk to people who are feeling it. God didn't call me to talk to people who agree with me. God didn't call with me to even produce results. He just said, you go and give them the gospel. And that's what I'm failing at. It's not up to me to produce the results. It's not up to me to choose who I talk to, but it is up to me. And look at verse number 7. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, it's not that we all have to be full-time ministers. It's not that we have to get up every morning and put our church clothes on and grab our Bible and turn your gospel station on and be just, this is what I'm doing. He told the disciples, actually he just changed them to apostles. He said, as you go. When you go out to the car shop, whoever happens to come by today, maybe that's who you're supposed to witness to. When you go to sell that insurance policy, or you're handing that part across the counter, or you're painting whatever. Whatever it is that you do during the day's time. So he told his disciples, his apostles, he said, and as you go, preach. Now, I know he gave them a specific mission right here, but a lot of times, just as we go, we need to be keeping our eyes open for opportunities to give people Jesus Christ, to give the gospel. Hey, it's wonderful if we could all come together here and go knock on a couple of doors and invite people to church, or to tell them about Jesus Christ. But man, my mission is every single day. My mission is the people that I just happen to bump into tomorrow. My mission is to let my light shine and to tell others about Jesus Christ. When I'm on the job site and things are not going my way and I'm mad and everything else is, I mean, really and truly, Jesus Christ is the last thing on your mind at that very minute. Maybe that's exactly when you bump into the person that needs to know about Jesus Christ. That might be the very moment that you need to, I'll talk about them since they're not here tonight. The last time that Robert and Joanne went to California, I think it would probably embarrass them if they were here, so while they're not, I'll talk about them. We were talking out in the parking lot one night, and Robert said something. He said, I don't even know if it's the people that we're going to talk to or not that we're supposed to give Jesus. He said, but it might just be somebody we sat beside of on the plane. And I was like, you know what? That's as you go. Preach the gospel. Everybody that you come in contact with, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because, look, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. One of the hardest things that you'll do is witness to somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ. But I think it is the most important thing that we can do. I was thinking about some friends of mine today. And I think, you know, I have crazy ideas from time to time. But I think about my relationship with them. And a lot of times I do say, you know, I'm just going to let my light shine. I want to try to live a Christian life in front of them. And that's good. That's what we're supposed to do. But I think there's also opportunities that we have to really tell them about Jesus Christ. And I wonder one of these days, if one of my friends could, that stand before God, and maybe they never accepted Jesus Christ, they stand before God, and God says, your name's not in the book. I mean, I've even had dreams about this, that they would look at me and say, why didn't you never tell me about Jesus? I knew you was a preacher. I was actually thinking about it as I drove out of our driveway tonight. There's people from all walks of life that live on our road that's been this and that and whatever. And a lot of people look at me and say, oh, that's the preacher over there. Well, that's okay if they know me as the preacher. I went somewhere the other day, and whoever it was maybe checking me out somewhere. Not like checking me out, but, you know, checking me out. I ain't been checked out in a long time, I'll just tell you that. But maybe it was at a cash register or something, and they looked at me and they said, hey, you're my preacher. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I am. I didn't recognize them, I'll just be honest with you. And I was like, yeah. And they said, you're the pastor at Fellowship, right? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, I hadn't got to come there in a while. And I looked at Maggie and Addie on the way out the door, or Silas, whichever one it was. And I said, see, I can't do anything to get in trouble around here. Everybody knows me as the preacher over at Fellowship. And that's okay if people knows me as the preacher. But I'd rather them know Jesus Christ and me have an opportunity to say, hey, yeah, I'm the preacher over at Fellowship, but that's not who you need to know. You need to know Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. Jesus will forgive you your sins. Jesus will change your life. But you know what? A lot of times I don't do that. That's hard. That's a whole lot harder than living and trying to do right in front of them. Let's keep reading just for a few minutes. I'll be done. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give. You may say, well, preacher, I'm not able to do that. Well, you know what? Jesus is giving his disciples instructions here. He's not giving those instructions to us. Verse number 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now, what we can take from this is if you go and you do exactly what God has told us to do, you're doing that great commission, that God's going to provide for you. God's going to help you. You may say, well, preacher, I don't even know what I'm going to say. Well, most of the time, I don't know what I'm going to say either. But God will give you the words. If you're witnessing to somebody, God will give you the words. They may have a question that you can't answer, but just say, hey, I don't know. I ain't claiming that they know the whole Bible. What I'm claiming is to know Jesus Christ. I'm claiming to know that he forgave me of my sins. I can't tell you about some of this stuff in here, but I can tell you that Jesus Christ saved me and he changed my life. Verse number 12, and when you come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet. There's going to be some that just don't receive it. There's going to be some that's not ready. There's going to be some that may be plumb ugly. Do you know what he says right here? He says, and if they don't receive you, he said, just shake the dust off your feet. No big deal. Go to the next one. It is a big deal because we're concerned for their soul. But don't let that destroy you. Go to the next one. Verse number 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. I'm going to stop reading right there tonight. I don't know whether we'll pick up here in Matthew next week or not, but I want to challenge us. Look, I'm going to challenge me, and then y'all do with it what you want to. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Am I going to continue to be just a Christian that is content with coming to church and being churchy, or am I going to labor for the glory of God? Well, preacher, you come in and preach on Sunday morning and you preach on Wednesday night. That's laboring. This is the easiest laboring I do. Because y'all sit here and watch me preach. And I mean, you might look at you watch a few times. But other than that, y'all sit here and y'all like God's word. But it's out there. That's tough. The guys that I see every day at work, that's tough. The people I'm on the ball fields with, that's where it's tough. Am I willing to labor, or am I just going to be one of those that sits back and goes, oh God, yes, please send somebody, just not me. Let's be laborers for Christ. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day, and we thank you for all you do for us. God, I know I stand here teaching a lesson tonight that I'm guilty of, that I should not be teaching. God, and I pray that you'll help me as I go from day to day, God, that as we go, that we'll preach the gospel. Yeah, I know that our lives reflect you, but God, there's times when I really believe that you put people in our path that we need to talk to them about Jesus Christ and the ability that he has to forgive them of their sins and to change their life. And God, I pray that you'll help me to be a laborer. God, I pray that you'll help me as I go every single day, that I'll look for those opportunities, that the things of this world will become less important and the mission that you gave us will become more important, that I will decrease and you will increase. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. Again, we ask you to touch all their prayer requests from the beginning of the service. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.